Next is an excerpt from a Jamastami lecture recorded on September 3rd, 1999, in Inishroth, Ireland.
Attention. We shift the attention off ourselves, where it usually is, and we give them some gifts, or even if that for formality, we treat them a special way. So how much more so that should be when it's the birthday of the Supreme Lord, we should be thinking of him always. And if we don't, unfortunate, if we're so unfortunate that we cannot always think of God, then following that natural human way, we can at least make an effort on his birthday. So I would like to speak like that, quoting some of the usual verses that we do about Janmashtami, but thinking of it in terms of what is the relevance to us of Janmashtami, or in direct language, who cares about Janmashtami? What does it mean to us? Or to whom does it have meaning? So, I'll read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. After the prayers of Vasudev and Devaki, when Krishna appeared to them, he didn't appear first as a little child, he appeared in his full Vishnu form in the prison of Kamsa. And they made prayers to him. And then he speaks to them as his mother and father. My dear mother and father, this is Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3, verses 34-35. You endured rain, wind, strong sun, scorching heat, and severe cold, suffering all sorts of inconvenience according to different seasons, by practicing pranayama to control the air within the body through yoga, and by eating only air and dry leaves fallen from the trees, you cleansed from your mind all dirty things. In this way, desiring a benediction from me, you worship me with peaceful minds. 36. Thus you spent 12,000 celestial years performing difficult activities of tapasya in consciousness of me, Krishna consciousness. So this is about the particular austerities that Krishna's mother and father performed in order to get him as their son. And this cannot be imitated by anyone. So in this sense, from the viewpoint of being Krishna's mother and father, Krishna's appearance has meaning only to them. Only they are his parents. Or, if you want to broaden it, to the kind of devotees who can perform such extreme tapasya as to realize their eternal relationship with Krishna. They're very, very rare that they care so much that they want Krishna to appear in the world, or that they want to join Krishna in their eternal relationship with them. There are different accounts in the scriptures of some devotees who met Krishna in some of his earlier incarnations. There are a number of sages who met Lord Rama. As you know, Lord Rama appeared in the schedule of yugas. He appears before Krishna. So they became very attracted to Lord Rama, and they wanted a conjugal relationship with Lord Rama, which he could not give them because he has only one wife. So he indicated to them, you have to wait till I come thousands of years later in Dwapara Yuga. Then, at that time, I take many wives or gopis. So they were very satisfied knowing, even though they would have to wait thousands and thousands of years and undergo so many austerities, that the day would come. But if you're not of that standard of devotee, that you can wait, that you can perform austerities, that you can delay your liberation just to serve Krishna and become the mother and father of Krishna, then these words as spoken by Krishna, we may appreciate them from a distance. Now, whether or not we're Krishna's parents, Krishna does appear in the world, and in the Bhagavad Gita, he tells why, in the fourth chapter, Pritranaya Sadranam Vinishaya Chajuskritam, to destroy the demoniac and to protect the devotees, I appear in every millennium, Krishna says, to restore religion in a time when it's down. However, Prabhupada explains in the purports that is not actually the purpose of Krishna's appearance in his original form, because he can do that even by his expansion. And doesn't require that the demons have to be destroyed by Krishna himself. He can do it by a hurricane or anything. So this seems a little unusual. If he says he's coming for this reason, he certainly desires that this take place, but we could call it the inside knowledge is that he gets it done without having to do it. It's his will, but he doesn't have to come in person. Then it's not contradictory, but then the further question is, well, then why did he come in person? So Prabhupada tells us that in the Introduction to Krishna book. When Krishna appeared, Lord Vishnu was with him. Krishna actually appears in order to demonstrate his Vrindavan pastimes, and in this way, attract the fortunate conditioned souls and invite them home back to Godhead. So the real reason Krishna appeared is to perform these Vrindavan pastimes that we read in Krishna book, starting with just after I read when Krishna appeared to Devaki and Vasudeva, then he was transferred to Vrindavan, and then we read everything, starting with his Janmastami ceremony. And all the childhood, and youthful pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, that his devotees who wanted to be with him, they would play with him in his Vrindavan pastimes, or devotees would join him, becoming qualified while he was here, or people who were in neither of those categories, but would later hear about these pastimes, as we can, and become attracted to them. So, getting back to this point of who cares, or to whom is this relevant, the Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, it would be to those persons who actually do get attracted to Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. That's not everyone automatically. Those who are attracted to material enjoyment, they cannot get attracted to Krishna's pastimes. As is stated in the beginning of the 10th canto, the killer of the self cannot be attracted to Krishna pastimes. So either the liberated Brajabasis, they're attracted, pure devotees are attracted, or fortunate people who just like to hear about Radha and Krishna, they're attracted. So you can say for yourself where you're situated. Some of us will admit that we are not so attracted, at least as we would like to be. So, Janmastami, in one sense, it is very, very popular. Prabhupada, even before any of us went to India, he told us in his books that it was such a popular religious holiday in India that all people of various sects would attend temples. He said he knew a Muslim gentleman who was always, he would never fail on Janmastami to go visit the Hindu temple. And he would try to write some article about Krishna and publish it. Some respectable man he knew, Calcutta. So, but going to the temple and making obeisances may be different than really caring and wanting to understand. It's very difficult. So, I want to read another thing. Those two verses that I read, where Krishna, as Vasudev or as Vishnu, spoke to his father and mother, they have very interesting purports by Prabhupada. Whereas Krishna is saying one thing, Prabhupada is saying another thing. Krishna is saying one thing, which kind of knocks us out of, let's say, Krishna is saying one thing, which excludes us, and where he says, "Oh, my dear mother and father, you performed all these austerities. I'm very pleased with you." So we would feel, "Oh, gee, well, where does that leave me? When Krishna's not pleased with me, I can't become Krishna's mother and father. I'm left out of this." What Krishna says, we're left out of. But what Prabhupada says, we're included into, in the same purport, in the purport to those same verses. So here's the part. Everyone should be taught to undergo austerity, but it may not be possible to undergo tapasya like that of Prishni and Sutapa. That's the names of Krishna's parents in previous births. The Shastra has given an opportunity for a method of tapasya very easy to perform, the Sankirtan movement. One cannot expect to undergo tapasya to get Krishna as one's child. Yet simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Kirtanadeva Krishnasya, one can become so pure that one becomes free from all the contamination of this material world and goes back home, back to Godhead. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, is teaching people not to adopt artificial means of happiness, but take to the real path of chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, one need not undergo severe penances for many thousands of years. One need only learn how to love Krishna and be always engaged in his service. Then one can very easily go back home, back to Godhead. Instead of bringing the Lord here for some material purpose, to have a son or whatever else, if we go back home, back to Godhead, our real relationship with the Lord is revealed, and we eternally engage in our eternal relationship. Now, this is a description of, this is as easy as you can get. For Janmashtami to be relevant, that if you just serve Krishna and call on Krishna's names, then you will realize Krishna on this day and every day. But as we may have felt excluded from the other qualified states I mentioned due to lack of taste, such as being Krishna's parents due to lack of tapasya, such as being a Brajabasi or being like them, attracted to Krishna Vrindavan pastime. We may also be excluded from the Sankirtan movement. There's a poem, a song by Narottam Das Thakur where he says he feels he's excluded from the Sankirtan movement. Fie, fie on me. Why am I alive? I have no attraction for this movement and for the devotees of the Sankirtan movement. Because that's also a spontaneous movement of chanting God's names and rendering service to Krishna. So the Sankirtan devotees, they know that there's no question of trying to bring Krishna here. I don't want to bring Krishna here. I want to go to Krishna. But devotees who lack that spontaneous level or persons, they're unfortunate. So what to do? There is still hope, and that hope Prabhupada gave us in what we call sadhana bhakti, which is the practice of devotional service, not spontaneously, but due to rules and regulations, or due to the order of the spiritual master. You don't have to wait for the spontaneous love. And so, why would you follow such rules? Because because of some faith in the statements of the Shastra and the spiritual master, that if you perform these activities, they're very powerful, and they'll rub off on you. The devotion will stick with you. And even if you don't know it, even if you can't perceive it, more and more you'll become a devotee. And this is actually the basis of our coming together here and the ISKCON temples, that we observe Janmashtami. You could say, if a news reporter were to ask exactly what it is, to begin to make them understand, or if they could guess and say, you mean, is it like your Christmas? In a sense, it is. Christmas is the birth of the Savior of Christian religion. So this is the birth of Krishna in this world, although he doesn't belong to this world. So it's a time of joy. It's a time of coming together and worshiping Krishna in the temple, and which we do by fasting and feasting and chanting and special worship of the deity and special performances during the day. So this is the sadhana bhakti of Janmashtami. No one should ignore Janmashtami, neglect it. Nectar Devotion says all the Vaishnava holidays are very important. They should not be neglected. So even if you you should just do it, and it will. To neglect it is very bad. To neglect the worship of Govardhan, you've heard what happens. There are snakes on Govardhan Hill, and so on. So, I think if we start with this, say, rock bottom, least qualified stage, even in the one day, within the day, we'll begin to rise to the higher stages from non-spontaneous, not caring so much about Krishna appearing in the world, to higher and higher states. If we pray during the day, as we go about the different activities, the activities themselves, they're inner, but even something spiritual has an outer and an inner side to it. So if we, as we do our activities, pray to Krishna that I want you to appear, not just that I go through this official day, go through this day with official attendance at Janmashtami function, but I want to rectify my poor habits, and I want to serve you, I want to get to know you. You are the best person, and I want to make you my best friend. I want you to be my master, and not to live my life without you. So, Janmashtami should be a boost for that, since Krishna is so prominent, and he is the prominent one. And that's our big mistake. That's why we're in the material world. Prabhupada put it in these words, that we thought, who's Krishna? Why is he always being worshipped? I'm as good as Krishna. So Janmashtami, it more than any other day, it makes it clear, well, no, Krishna is not, don't say who's Krishna, you're as good as Krishna. He's the one who's, it's his birthday, and he's the one who's being paid attention to, who's being given presents to, and so on and so forth. So we pray to Krishna to keep this up and build it up more and more. And that's the blessing of Janmashtami occasion, if we do it right. So we're linking this up, the Janmashtami, to initiation. So a devotee can always remember, I was initiated on Janmashtami. Make a good start. And so now we'll proceed with the different parts of the ceremony. I'll get the arena ready with colors and incense and fire, during which time you can chant, and then we'll go on from there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Now what? Nick, please. So, Anandamaya, you want to put the neck beads around? Oh, you've already done that? Oh, big pieces, huh? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. These can be put away. Not that. Yeah. Think of God sisters and all devotees as being brothers and sisters, then there are families, many families, we'll call it blood sisters or whatever you want to call it, material family. Many families come to Krishna consciousness. Like Fergus and his two brothers, Prabhupada Das, Nitai, Sachinanda. So this is another family, and they're very happy to be seated together for initiation. Sukada was here last year for first initiation and is now receiving second initiation. And her quote older sister Karen is getting first initiation. But they acknowledge still that relationship where the younger sister is being helped and guided very much by the older sister. But then you say, well, what do you mean by older sister? If one got initiated first, is she the older? But we shouldn't make too much of this. Just like I may think, oh, I'm an older devotee. I don't have anything to learn from somebody who joined the Krishna Conscious Movement after me. I'm a Prabhupada disciple. And so on. But we can learn. We can learn from each other. We can learn enthusiasm, for example, from the devotee, from the guest who comes here and appreciates what we perhaps are not appreciating anymore due to familiarity. So it's a debatable thing who's the older sister, therefore. But they're certainly, which is nice to see, very loving toward each other and feeling that each other is helping them in Krishna consciousness. They're also both married, and so I was speaking yesterday with both of them as couples with their husbands, and we could understand how the husbands are also like part of the initiation and part of the spiritual life of the wife, very essential. The husband and wife follow the vows together. And So many ways we can think of it as a family. Prabhupada used the word Achyuta Gotra, we're all in the family of Krishna. We use the word Prabhupada follower, we're all followers of Prabhupada, or followers of Lord Chaitanya, and a joint family in that way. So let us welcome the new devotees in first and second initiation. So, Bhakt and Karen, you can come up here. What are the four rules? Right. Those are the do nots, and every day do chant 16 rounds. And now your spiritual name is Karun Eshvari Devidasi. Which may be translated as the Queen of Compassion. And that's a name for Srimati Radharani, whose appearance day we'll be celebrating in 2 weeks. And as Krishna is most compassionate, as Srimati Radharani is the king of compassion, she's the queen of compassion. So I was talking a couple of weeks, we had like a seminar on compassion, and you can try to think of all the different ways that you can be compassionate within your capacity and pray to Srimati Radharani to help you to do that. All right. And so I'll give the Brahman Gayatri later to Sukada. And she can take up her responsibilities of increased seriousness about the vows and about being a philosophically qualified. There's only two people sitting here, but these little remarks about spiritual life in connection with them are meant for everybody, because everyone else in the room is either not initiated and maybe will be thinking about it in the future, or you are initiated, and so it applies to us that we have to follow the vows and we have to try to improve ourselves as first or second initiated. As for these little ones, I don't know.